So as amazing and wonderful as the public ministry of Jesus was, it was always clear that it was never intended to remain only with him. It was a ministry so generous and so bountiful that he wanted to share it. And so the first chance that he gets, he sends his 12 disciples out with the same authority, the same power, the same healing responsibility as he himself has had. He shares this gift with them. He invites them into the same experience. And note that normally when people have been healed themselves and they might go and tell people, it was Jesus, the carpenter's son from Nazareth. He was the one who set me free. He was the one who brought me back to life. He was the one who allowed me to see when I was blind. But here, the disciples don't just say that message. Let us talk about the name of Jesus. They have the same authority that he has. They also share in the very life. They set people free from evil spirits. They heal the sick. All of that ministry of Jesus is now shared with the church as they go out two by two on this new journey. But what is this message? What is this truth that these young people, these people that are followers of Jesus, these apostles, what is the message that they're able to share? And I think what Paul offers us today in this letter to the Ephesians, the beginning of the letter, is this powerful insight into what this message is meant to be about for us. Paul has this powerful sense of just going into this quite ecstatic hymn of praise and thanksgiving. Blessed be the God of our fathers. This whole sense of giving glory to God. At the background is the whole sense of the history of the Jewish people. The fact that they were once slaves in Egypt, but because of God's mighty hand, they were set free from that. At one time, they had lost everything and they were in exile in Babylon. But again, the Lord was there to provide them this new sense of hope and purpose. What we have in this is this whole sense that in Jesus, Paul discovers that everything is able to be re-understood and reinterpreted. That's what that final word there, in the final part of verse 10 of our reading today is about. This whole sense that in Christ, in the cosmic vision that was opened up because of him, all things are now able to be understood and summed up and brought to completion in him. And there's a beautiful little word in the Greek language that Paul uses here. He only uses it here in Ephesians 1:10 and once more in Romans 13 verse 9. This little word, just 19 letters, anakaphaloisthai. You got that? Anakaphaloisthai. Anna is a word that kind of brings emphasis. You tack anna onto the beginning of a word just to emphasize it and to bring it to the whole sense of urgency and power that is revealed in that. Kephala is the word for head, or the word for kind of being brought into completion, the word for summoning all things up. And all the other letters at the end are really just the parts of speech that are formed there in the Greek grammatical system. So, anakephaloisthai is this whole sense of, you know, when you've had this terrible kind of experience, you know, the weather is just dreadful and, the camping trip has been shut off. Like on Facebook the last few days, I've been seeing lots of stories of friends whose flights to Bali and Denpasar have all been cancelled and all of the attempts by the airlines to reroute them. One friend was saying, who's living in Adelaide, was saying, yes, the airline has offered me a flight. They just want me to fly to Perth, spend all day there, fly to Brisbane, stay overnight there, catch the flight the next night, and then I'll get there, you know, by Wednesday of next week. So that's brilliant. You know, there's the whole sense of, you know, what's been happening in our community over the last few weeks. You know, first, of course, the church was broken into. Then the ceiling in the storeroom collapsed. Then my front door fell off. And then I lost my car keys and my house keys. And so I had to sleep on the floor in my office. And then my car broke down. Then the phone system broke down. Then the internet went down. And you're kind of thinking, what on earth is going on in the midst of all of this? You know, and then the weather, of course, is just so delightful and wonderful and beautiful and warm and sunny. We're all thinking how wonderful it is to be in Queensland. And yet, in the midst of all of that, we know that there's this greater purpose, this greater plan. We're able to laugh, we're able to look back and to say, no, you know, all of that wasn't quite as bad as I experienced at the time. All of that wasn't as dreadful and terrible as what we imagined it to be. We survived. We got stronger. We were able to refocus. What we're doing when we're going through that process is we're anacaphaloisifying this whole experience. We're looking back with the eternal perspective. We're looking back and saying, no, that's not the end of the story. That's not the sum total of all that needs to be said about that. It's the terrible things that happen, those dramas that we sometimes have to go through that provide the focus for our lives, that allow us to see God's true and ultimate purpose for us. And that's what Paul is inviting us into, to go into this ecstatic hymn of praise of God, because he has made all things make sense. He's able to offer to us this ability to reinterpret our lives, that no matter how terrible our past might have been, there's always this glorious future that lies ahead of us, this wonderful sense of being able to find our purpose, our place, to sum all things up in Christ, to find the meaning and purpose of our lives. If we find it in any other thing, it will always fall apart. But when we find our purpose in Christ, then everything can come together. And that's why it's such a wonderful thing when we're able to welcome travelers to be part of this community, to initiate young people and slightly older people into this wonderful sense of the life and wonder of God's purpose and plan for us.